This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom is
Matthew Solomon Grundy Haas.
That's a long name.
It is.
I'm just going to call you Matt.
I mean, you're free to do that.
Or I'm just going to call you Slappy.
Do that too, I guess.
Or I'm going to call you late for dinner. So, today on the show, we are covering episode 5 of season 2 of the TV show Stargirl, the CW DC show, which aired on September 7th, 2021. It was directed by Shelan Kosky and written by Steve Harper, and it's entitled Summer School Chapter 5. In this episode, we start out with 10 years ago, where Cindy Berman is awakened from a nightmare about her father, while her dad, Dragon King, secretly watches her from afar. So, and then we cut to in the present, where Cindy attempts to recruit Cameron. While he's outside working on a mural of his father. But, Cameron's grandmother, Lily, uses her freeze breath powers to stop Cindy. Which they refer to as cryokinetic abilities.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's obviously hereditary then.
Yeah. I like the word cryokinetic. That's a fun word.
Yeah, it's interesting, because, like, after that flashback, you know, Cindy was, like, crying, and it's like, I don't understand her deal, where it's like, she hates her father for having experimented on her, and she killed him, but yet she wants to take over the very organization that he was a part of.
Yeah.
Does not compute, don't understand. Because it's like, if you're remembering something, and you're crying because of how much it makes you sad, why, like, what is your life purpose? I don't get it. Anyway, maybe we'll find out, I guess, but,
yeah, we'll have to see. So meanwhile, Courtney is confronting, her stepfather, Pat, about, Shade's intentions. And then this mysterious storm rolls in town, and it's like only over Blue Valley. Like, the storm is not anywhere else in the country.
Right.
Just over Blue Valley, Nebraska, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. That's normal.
Yeah.
You know, the entire state's just completely sunny, and
no one, like, at the National Weather Bureau or whatever, they call it, would be concerned about this.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, because didn't they blame last season thing on the weather too?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, if I were working for them, I'd be like, we gotta go to Blue Valley, Nebraska. There's something going on.
Yeah.
In that really small town, you know. Where, I mean, it's like, what are you guys doing?
I mean, at least the Weather Channel should show up and do some research or something. I'm just saying.
Yeah, come on, guys. Get working.
Come on, Byron Allen. Get your people out there. By the way, Byron Allen owns the Weather Channel.
Is that Barry Allen's, like, cousin?
No. No, he's a former stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And he owns, yeah, he used to have a late night talk show and stuff and everything too. Yeah, he owns now, the Weather Channel now.
That's a really interesting career change. Like, you know what I mean? Used to be a stand up comedian. Now I own the Weather Channel.
Yeah, he also owns some other networks and stuff too. He's like really rich and everything. I don't know. He interesting guy.
Definitely.
He used to write jokes for Jimmy Walker and stuff, and he was like a really young stand-up when he was like 18 and stuff. And
oh wow,
yeah, really interesting story. There's a episode, I don't know if it's still in his free episodes, but Mark Maron did an interview with him, and it's really cool on his WTF podcast. Yeah, I don't know why I'm going off about Byron Allen, but yeah. So anyway, so it was a very interesting episode. So Cameron, you know, basically rebukes her, you know, as the Cindy tries to recruit Cameron again, I should say, and he rebukes her. And this is at the school, and on her way out, she uses Eclipso to enchant the art teacher, Paul, is it Dessinger?
Yeah, I think it's Dessinger.
Yeah. Which I thought, when I first read it, I thought it said Designer, and I was like, he's an art teacher with the last name Designer? That's kind of funny. Anyway, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be like, that's kind of appropriate.
A little on the nose, yeah. Yeah.
The Shade ends up visiting Barbara regarding Courtney's search for him, and then burns in his number on the business card that Barbara had from him from before. So now she can get a hold of him. What else is happening here in this episode, Matt?
What else is happening is that the Shade really needs to learn some modern ways of, like, you know, getting people to be in touch with them instead of having to burn a number onto a card.
Shit, I'm gonna have to stop doing that now.
There's like a thing called Gmail, Facebook, you know, Instagram. You know, well, I doubt he has Instagram, but
he does have TikTok, though. It's weird.
He's got TikTok, yeah. The Shade's TikTok page is wild, man. It's crazy shit on there.
You should see the video where he dances and lip syncs to a bunch of Olivia Rodrigo songs. It's great. I'm telling
you. Richard Swift. Yeah, wow. That's interesting visualization.
Actually, it's funny. A little known fact, he's actually Taylor Swift's dad.
Wow. No, yeah, so he goes into where Shadow Realm or whatever he goes, and you know, just disappears on her. And Courtney and Yolanda are really I don't know. They're just having like a full on discussion about the Shade inside of summer class, which I don't think is very appropriate you know, to be doing. You know, because no, not Shade about Eclipso, I think. And
I mean, my whole thing is you know, you got to remember this whole secret part of your secret identity thing. I'm just saying,
because Isaac overhears them a little bit, And it's like, you know, maybe you should, you know, not do that. They already did that before, I think, when they were talking about the Shade. It's like, dude, he's listening in on what you're talking about. Like come on. Like, and so the art teacher, Paul, Mr. Dink, Dezinger, he's like, he basically has COVID, and like nobody seems to care or notice. But I'm not sure if COVID exists in this show, because no one really...
Probably not. Like,
yeah, I don't think it does. But so he's like coughing and like, you know, like clearing his throat a bunch, and like he looks all like tired and weak. I'm like, yeah, you probably shouldn't expose your students to whatever you've got going on. So he goes and ends class early. And then he goes in to the art room, and in a really disgusting scene, he starts vomiting paint.
I haven't read much on the side effects of COVID lately, but is vomiting up paint one of them?
It could be. I don't know.
I'm just curious.
That might be a vaccine side effect. And, yeah. You know, go to vaccines or the devil's tools .org.geocities.com, and it'll tell you all about that. Cities. Good times. But yeah, so he starts vomiting up different colors of paint because Eclipso said he's the guy's new muse now, because he mentioned about a muse early on, about how like Cameron, like Courtney's basically Cameron's muse, because he was drawing pictures of her like not still images, but like live, whatever it was. Basically, when you draw someone, but they're not being still, they're, you know what I mean? You're just drawing from, I'm not an artist, so I don't know the terms,
like,
yeah,
it's kind of, he's kind of like creating these whole like Jackson Pollock sort of, abstract art,
based off of Courtney. Cause he's liked Courtney for a long time, actually. And,
you mean, I thought you meant, Paul, I'm sorry.
Paul ended up taking, yeah. No. I was saying that Cameron was drawing pictures of Courtney, and Paul said that Courtney's Cameron's muse. So then he said that every artist has to have a muse. So then when Cindy enchanted Paul, Eclipso said that he's Paul's muse now, which, you know, that can't be good.
I mean, every artist does have a muse. I mean, like Kevin Smith has Jason Muse.
Yeah, and he's his muse, and his last name is Muse, so...
I'm sorry, that was a really bad dad joke.
It's
okay, so...
True.
So
he starts coughing up paint. Yeah. And then Eclipso says, paint what you see, and he says, I don't see anything. And he says, you know, look again. And he's like, I see everything. And he's like, yes, draw it or paint it or whatever.
Yeah. And then so Dessinger is engulfed by a paint blob at one point. And so nobody knows where he is, and the JSA visits the school to investigate. But because Paul is like affected by Eclipso, he causes them to see nightmares until Courtney rescues him. So they're seeing like these like drawings and paintings of things that are freaking them out, like all over the lockers and random shit in the school. Yeah.
They went all in on the horror in season 2. I'm actually quite interested in that they really went all in on just being scary. I mean, like that thing that, like, the chalkboard, the face came out of the chalkboard at Courtney. I mean, like, that was just really scary.
That didn't happen at your high school?
No, unfortunately. I mean, if I smoked too much DMT, it kind of did here and there. or salvia, you know, which I'm kidding, I've never done that, but yeah, you see a lot of weird shit like Eclipso coming out of a chalkboard trying to grab you, you know. Yolanda sees brainwave or sees like a picture of him or whatever. because she still feels guilty for, you know, slitting his throat. That's just the fucked up thing about it. Like, they're all, like, I think sophomores in high school at that time.
Yeah.
She literally murdered a man at the age of, like, 16. Like, that's kind of really...
I mean, the first guy you murder is kind of hard, you know, and then after that,
yeah, it's easier. Then it just gets easier.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
No. Oh.
This is not a confession.
Yeah, just letting you know, I have not murdered anybody that I know of.
Yeah. That you know. Whoa.
There have been some.
How would you not?
I was on Ambien once, and wait, I'm just joking.
Oh, yes. That's your excuse if you're on Ambien. You can get away with anything. So
I didn't become racist. I just became a murderer. Oh wait.
Yeah, you were a non-racist murderer.
Yes.
I
only killed white people. And wait.
If you kill someone else of a different race, it was like you're like, I just let you know I'm not doing this because you're black. I'm just letting you know up front. Don't take it personally. That's a weird idea for a movie. The non-racist murderer who, like, apologizes to the people he's about to murder. Like, I'm just letting you know, I've got nothing against Chinese people. Okay, it's just happened to choose you. It's kind of just, you know, like a magic eight ball type of thing. Just told me to go. That's really fucking.
I think we should write that movie. Anyway, so we've got Courtney rescues Dessinger, basically, and then negates Calypso's powers with her, you know, her light takes out the dark.
Whoa, man.
Oh, wait, anyway, so... I just went somewhere. I don't know where. Dessinger later ends up in a psychiatric evaluation place, like a psychiatric hospital. So, or institution, or whatever they call them. So during the episode, Beth also confronts her parents about their divorce. So she admits to finding the divorce papers. And do you want to take a quick break here, Matt?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, before we get to the next part of the episode, we'll be right back, folks. After this.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guest every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
What?
I think my voice has changed.
I would say so.
I don't know what's wrong, Matt.
You sound like what is it you sound like? Some character. What would it? Shoot, can't think of him. Some guy.
Yes.
Yeah, some guy.
Some guy.
Just go with that. It was some dude.
I am some dude. That is my name.
Yes, you are.
I know everything.
Oh, no, I know what you sound. You sound like Abed's character in the Dungeons and Dragons episode when he's for 20.
That's funny. Yeah. I do, don't I? Gnome.
Yeah, that's what you guessed what it reminded me of. He's like, I am a gnome.
I am a gnome.
Yeah.
I was thinking, after you said that, that sounded like it too. The only other voice I think I sounded like when I accidentally did that voice was maybe the character that Billy Barty played in the Masters of the Universe live action film. I can't remember his character. Basically the character that they used instead of Orko.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. God, I can't remember his name. But anyways, somebody will let us know.
Yeah. Let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just email it to me, mike@cullenpark.com. I mean, because I forgot how to use Google. Anyway, so, to find it myself.
Right, exactly. Just send me an email listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
And,
I'll get the answer like a week from now. Like,
right.
Somebody will just send me the name of the character and I'll be like, what the fuck is this?
is this spam?
So, anyways, like I was saying, Beth is confronting her parents about the divorce and she wants to talk about it now, but they're like, yeah, let's talk about it later. Blah, blah, blah. They're putting it off like they do.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I like that they're giving Beth something more, but this whole like storyline of the parents getting divorced is kind of, I don't know, it just feels awkward to me. I guess that's what it's supposed to feel, but
it is. But at the same time, like
it is something good to put in the show, because I mean the show's geared towards probably teenagers more than it is towards guys in their 30s and 40s like us.
Exactly. Such a good show. That's the thing, though.
I know.
It's like, yeah, it might be for them.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I get to watch this shit too. So
yeah.
I'm not a second class citizen. I'm allowed to watch Stargirl. You know, I'm allowed to watch Wildcat murder people as a teenager. Yeah. You know.
it's all good. You know.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to watch episodes of iCarly randomly. Oh wait, no. I don't do that. I'm just joking. I was trying to think of something that was geared towards teens.
What is that show even about? I never even knew what that.
I did. No.
No. Okay.
No, she's a girl that does her own like YouTube show. That's the original thing, like with her friends.
Okay.
I remember watching it years ago, the original iCarly. There's a reboot of it now, too. But I remember watching it at my niece's and nephew's house and totally, like, just getting, you know, involved in the show. And, like, I had to leave one day in the middle of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home and finished it on Netflix. Yeah. That's what happened. Yeah. I was like, why am I watching this? You know, but anyways, so.
Right. Like, okay.
Anywho, the whole divorce thing, I don't know. I just hope it goes somewhere that is a satisfying place or something, or maybe there's more to it than we don't know. I don't know. I mean, it could.
Well, the whole problem is that Beth doesn't really. I'm not trying to be mean about this, but she doesn't really have that much to contribute to the team. I mean, she's kind of like Pat in a way where she has like really no like powers. Like she can't really fight. It's like, you know what I mean? Like they need to do something to make her. I mean, I'm not making fun of her character. I just mean like if you're part of like a superhero team, like, you need to be able to, like, do something other than just look at goggles. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need something.
They need to develop her character more. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... She's a good actress, and they need to, like, give her more to do. And
yeah, totally.
I mean, I want to see a romance between her and Rick. Come on. Just...
Yeah, this, they've been sort of teasing this a little bit for a while.
But yeah, but they haven't done it.
Yeah, they're kind of... They both kind of, like, know how to talk to each other. That
yeah.
Either of them can really... connect with
but then again, I guess it's not a bad thing. I mean, you can have a situation where a guy and a girl can just be friends, and that's cool too. You know?
No, not allowed. It has to be romance. Those are the rules. You're not allowed to have just platonic friendships.
No.
You know? No, it's against the rules. Harry met Sally. They proved that right in like a movie from like 35 years ago. But
that is still a great movie, but still.
I'm not making fun of it.
No.
It is a great movie. Yes. But that was that whole thing of like, yeah, a guy and a girl can't be friends, man, because one of them's going to catch feelings from the other. And it's like, okay, maybe, but like, I mean, so what? Like, I mean, you just deal with it. I mean, like, by that logic, does that mean then that like a gay guy can't be friends with another guy because he might catch feelings? Well, I mean, that's basically like the logic behind it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's an old cliche. So Cindy tries a third time to recruit Cameron.
Jesus. Does? Wait, oh yeah.
And she fails yet again.
Yeah, he will not budge. He's not going to do it.
No means no, people.
Well, Cindy apparently doesn't know the meaning of no because she's insanely pushy.
Yeah.
And does not... I'm still trying to wrap my head around that character. Like, what is her motivation?
It's hard to say.
Just don't get it.
Anyways, then she meets up with Artemis and Isaac, who she's already recruited, to plan to recruit Mike instead, is what they're implying. So, and then...
For some reason.
Yeah. I don't get that. Anyway, so Cameron is now continuing to work on his mural... until he suffers a hand cramp and drops his now ice-covered paintbrush.
Uh-oh.
So, dun-dun-dun.
What's going to happen now? Is he going to be Icicle Junior? Or... I really hope he doesn't join the Injustice... Well, then again, we'll talk about that next episode. But because there's some interesting developments in terms of that.
Yeah.
But I won't say what. But
no, we'll see what happens. But yeah, so without giving anything away, because we have seen the next episode, do you have any speculation here for what's going to happen this season here, Matt? After the events of this episode.
Yeah, so I think Starman or whoever this person is eventually going to find his way to Blue Valley. I'm thinking probably either in the finale or maybe like one or two episodes before the finale. I'm wondering about Jay Garrick of why he's going to show up at some point. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, though, with the Starman of it all.
She's right.
Because Joel McHale, what was that? I was listening to a podcast recently, and he said that he was talking on this podcast, it was a recent podcast, and one of the things he was promoting was Stargirl.
Hmm.
Like... saying, yeah, I get to be, I'm Starman on there, and blah, 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 and talking about that. And then he was talking about how cool it is to work with the cast on there and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, and how cool Stargirl herself
Breck is, and you know, it's just, yeah, it's like it's kind of weird, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we still have, you know, 7 more episodes, I think, so you know, a lot could happen. I mean, lots already happened this season already. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's gonna be 13 episodes this season, so
we're only 6 episodes in, and so much has happened. But yeah, I think I think the Flash, Jay Garrick's version of the Flash, he's probably gonna introduce probably something to do with maybe time travel, because you know, because they have the Flash, speedsters have the ability to break the time wall or whatever. But because I do think that time travel, like the JSA had done time travel even with Pat, because some of these pictures they have taken look so old, like they look like they're taken from cameras from like 1930s. And 40s, so like there's no reason. I mean, I know like they're kind of going for like a 1960s aesthetic for with like the uniforms and stuff, but I think there's more to it than just that alone. Like I think like they may have actually spent some time
in the past.
Who knows? Maybe they spent years in the past. Maybe they couldn't get back for a while. So maybe they literally kind of like in the Legends of Tomorrow, where they literally spent like 2 years. In the 1950s until the Wave Rider picked them up again.
Yeah.
Like maybe they literally spent like just a good chunk of their lives like in the 1940s or whatever, just like, oh, I guess we're stuck here. We gotta make a life here for a while, I guess, you know, until we can figure out, you know, what to do.
Either so that or they hired a hipster to take all of their photographs.
Yeah, it could just be a whole like, hey man, like we got like 1950s cars and you know milkshakes with sarsaparilla and I love that word now, sarsaparilla.
Some hipster with a man bun,
like Bishop. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He came and he's gotten all he has are these like old Kodak cameras from you know the 1950s or something or the 40s, and you know that's all he. You know.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know much about. I mean, obviously, Eclipso is going to be a big part of the season, but you know, I wonder if it's going to be maybe like another villain might show up. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, they do have a lot of episodes, so you think there might be because you know,
yeah,
I don't know how long you can play out the Eclipso of it all, but we'll have to see.
The Eclipso, yeah.
Anything else, Matt, before we wrap things up here?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, so, folks, be sure to check out our Tee Public. You can get some cool t-shirts. I got my All Too Real 2 t-shirt recently. It's nice and soft and comfortable, and, you know, it looks cool, too. Also, you can check out our website, alltoreal2.com. I don't know why I just sang that. But
kind of cool.
The website is awesome. You can get links to all of our stuff. You can join our Facebook group, All Too Real 2 Podcast Group, and talk to us there. You know, we have a TikTok, too, folks. If you want us to, you know, do something with that... let us know what we can do, because I don't get the ticks and the talks.
I mean, yeah, I'm not a talker either, so, you know, I don't... I mean, is that what they call themselves, talkers? I don't know.
Maybe they're tickers. I don't know.
Tickers or talkers or the TikToks and the Instagram and the...
You know, the Facebooks and in the MySpaces and the Friendsters and the... Wait, what? I'm going back way too far.
Friendsters. Wow, Friendsters you actually had to pay for. That was crazy.
And then there's and then there's just the, you know, the party lines on the phone. Oh wait,
party. Wow, that's some old shit right there.
My dad was telling me about that. He actually, they would participate in that. Like they would go after school and go on this party line, and you would just talk to. There would be a bunch of people in there on the phone. And they'd all be calling the same number, and they'd be and you talk in there, and I guess, you know, you could be like, you know, you could ask girls out in there, you could do other things. It was kind of like basically Facebook before Facebook, but on the phone.
I mean, they've ever since we've had the ability to communicate through like technological means, like besides like sending letters. Well, even then, I guess technically, but like telegrams or like. Plus, too, even before party lines, in some neighborhoods at least, they literally, like, it was so primitive back then that, like, if you just like picked up the phone, like, you could just hear someone else like having like a phone conversation.
Yeah.
And like you'd have to wait for that person to get off. Like that was how primitive it was back then. Like, oh, I can't call my dad because this lady's talking with her, you know, brother or whatever, you know.
But then it's just like, well, Mrs. Garcia has cancer now. I know this. Oh wait, what?
Like you would literally have to like, oh, I'm sorry, and like ask, do you know what to like be off the phone? And, oh, about a half hour. Oh, okay, thank you. It's like, but then how do you know? Because someone else is going to pick up the phone. And it's like, it just seemed like a weird system. But like,
yeah,
you know, they worked it out somehow. So, yeah, come back for our history lessons about early MySpace and pre-social media, but it was kind of its own version of social media. ah, man, we kind of lost a lot of shit like that, though, like community stuff. Because like, I remember my aunt, my great aunt, you know, she was like, she like died in her like 90s. She used to tell us how like, like someone in her neighborhood, it was like the first person in her neighborhood who got a TV. Yeah. And like, literally people would just like sit out in the front yard and just like watch TV, like with them in the house, they just be watching the TV from like, I'm like, that seems kind of like, you should try that these days. I don't think people would be too happy about that, but like they didn't care. So like they would like watch wrestling, like old school wrestling.
Yeah. Reminds me of when all of the cable boxes had the same remote control.
Oh God, I remember that.
Yeah, so my friend Eric and I used to go around to some neighborhoods, and if anybody had their window shades open, you could change the channel on their TV if you had your remote.
Yes.
So, you know, they'd be sitting there watching something, and we'd just change it to, like, MTV or whatever.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, I did the same exact thing with my brother and like some of our friends down the street.
And yeah, then I used to go over to like friends' houses and bring my remote with me too.
Right,
change the channel when they're not looking.
I think when I look back at it, it's a pretty asshole-ish thing to do.
I know it is.
Like, a TV channel from outside, like. It's like, you know, I worked all day long, a fucking 12-hour shift. I just want to watch Matlock or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
These damn kids are playing VH1
yes.
or MTV.
It's like, also, I mean, I know we're going off on weird tangents that have nothing to do with Stargirl here, but there was a kid in my high school who had a watch that had a universal remote built into it.
Oh, wow.
And it was the coolest thing because in our homeroom, he would turn the TV on randomly and change it and stuff.
That's awesome.
Like, we'd go in the homeroom and we'd have to watch this thing called Channel 1, which was a, kids news channel or something. And,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he would change it over to like, MTV in the middle of it or something, and then, yeah.
I liked some of Channel 1's programs. I don't know why. But some of them are actually kind of educational and interesting. By the way, there's a whole thing about that. I think it was an article or maybe it was a document. I don't know, but it was like the whole history of like how Channel 1 came into being. Really interesting story behind that. If you want to check that out sometime, it's really interesting.
But anyways, folks, be sure to tune back in when we talk about the next episode of tune back in. What the fuck? Check us out. check out the next. We talk about the next episode of Stargirl here on All Too Real 2. Wear a mask, people. Wear a condom. Be kind. Rewind. And until next time.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.